Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. In the studio with me, finance presenter JP Ong, and on the phone with us is Jeff Howie, SGX market strategist. The SDI has been a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down all this week. It is flat right now at 3,162 points. I'm wondering if we'll see it in any kind of pale shade of green in the next few hours.
And you know, usually the afternoon session's more exciting for the straights, for the SGX and the STI. As we've seen for most of this year, a lot of value turnover tends to pick up towards the tail end of the afternoon session. So again, there could be a lot of things to watch out for, but you're right. 2 days in the green, 2 days in the red this week, and today it is flat at 3,162. Value turnover also looking fairly average, about 578 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands. So appetite's pretty much par for the course today. More winners than losers, though, today. So if you're looking for a bright spot today, the second and third liners might be the place to look. 242 stocks, REITs, and trusts that are in the green, and that's significantly higher than the 174 losers in today's session. And we're also seeing that market sentiment across the region fairly tame for the most part. The Nikkei 225 today just flat, or well, practically flat. They've just shaved 6 points off the register for the Tokyo benchmark. The ASX 200 in Australia today rising, but just by about 11 points. So it's a bit, just a slight positive uptick at least, or just a little perk me up at least for the Sydney benchmark in today's session. Arguably the best performer in the region, seeing probably the most robust start today, is the South Korean KOSPI, trading about 0.7% higher. Now, South Korea released the recent data for their for exports in the first 10 days of June. And what do you know? Exports in South Korea surged by almost 41% for the first 10 days of June, just hinting again at exports and trade data again being very robust for one of the world's most notable exporters. And Taiwan today, the TAIEX also trading about 0.4% higher. Shanghai today is down by about 8.5 points. The Shenzhen Bourse also trading lower, down by about 1.1%, down by about half a percent, that is, in Shenzhen. So it's a day of giving back, at least, for mainland Chinese markets, while the Hang Seng is still in the green, rising by about 150 points, about 120 points in today's session, rising to 28,856. Of course, a lot of people, markets are also reacting to the recent release of that inflation report, or the consumer price index, in the United States overnight. And while many economists surveyed by both Bloomberg and Dow Jones separately were expecting that May inflation would have hit 4.7%, what do you know? It actually beat estimates, and inflation rose at a faster clip, rising by 5%. But instead of shuddering, markets in the U.S. actually took strength and decided to rise. And it's notable also among the big three on Wall Street that the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which seems to be the most sensitive to some of these inflationary pressures and talk of rate hikes, actually saw the biggest gain among the big three, 0.8% gains, actually trumping those of the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Index overnight. So you're seeing some strength and perhaps some confidence being lent by Wall Street to Asian markets in today's session. Of course, a lot of the talk now will shift to the Federal Reserve's policy decision next week. How are they going to react to this? And will they actually start to entertain the talk, at least, of tapering some of these bond purchases? What will that do to markets? Will this bring back some trauma from the taper tantrums of 2013, where we saw it actually rock markets for the most part? It seems that markets, at least, well, at least judging by how Wall Street reacted, they seem to be a little bit more confident and perhaps just have already priced in some of these inflationary pressures for the most part, and probably why markets today haven't really reacted in such negative fashion. Yes, the Straits Times Index is trading just half a point in the red today, but fairly flat and looking fairly stable. I think one of the big things that markets here might also be taking note of also is the recent meeting, at least, between the leaders of Singapore and Australia here. And it seems that while both sides have begun talking about a potential travel corridor, it has been admitted also that that could take months to actually take place, to actually form and take fruition, because of the uneven rate of vaccinations between Singapore and Australia. And it might take months for them to actually catch up to do that. So once again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If you guys are looking to pick that surf trip or that vacation in the wine region, the western part of Australia, it might be a couple of months in the making. And we're going to have, again, just shows that the restart, at least for travel, will be very much contingent on vaccination rates. Now, not so much containing COVID-19 and having a zero COVID-19 policy. Vaccinations may be the name of the game and might be so for the rest of the year.
Okay, we're still flat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I watched it, kind of want to go red, green, but now it's green, but it's still flat, which is amusing. We bring Jeff Howie into the conversation. Now, a couple of days ago, we noticed that some of the stocks that were doing very well were stocks that would be related to the possibility of an opening from next week, you know, like some of the retail REITs, for example. But I'm surprised that there hasn't been a happier reaction to the fact that measures have been announced, that they are going to be eased as of Monday.
We expected that it would be a gradual couple of weeks for us to get back to where we were. I think a lot of what is happening right now, from the inflation numbers that JP talked about to some of the moves here at home, is very much been very much in line with expectations. So much so that we are so flat, Clarissa, that we've seen a 40-point range only for the STI since the end of May, between high and low, which has been a very, very comparatively tame start to the trading month. And it's coincided with our 90-day historical volatility gauge for our banks index to be at its lowest point since the onset of all that broader market volatility back in March 2020. So globally, banks have not been on the move over the first 2 weeks of June. Sector leaders of all the big global banks, they've generated a decline of 0.2%. And that's been echoed in Singapore, with our banks averaging a narrow decline of less than 0.1%. Hence, the market, the STI benchmark itself has been quiet. But as you say, there is quite likely to have been some portfolio rebalancing over the first 2 weeks of this month, because you look at the outperformers of the STI, the five outperformers have been Sats, Gunting Singapore, Capitaland Integrated Commercial Trust, Singapore Airlines, and Mapletree Commercial Trust. And of course, they have all been among the least performing half of the STI stocks since the end of 2019, whilst the two least performers so far in June, Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding and Sembcorp Industries, have been, on the other hand, the two strongest STI stocks since the end of 2019. So quite some measured moves, if you will. I guess outside the STI, we've had a few stocks make some moves. Wingtai Holdings has been among the strongest of the broader FTSE STI share stocks this week. It's gained as much as 10 cents or 6% from $1.73 to $1.83. And during the week, the stock did commence share buybacks again, commencing a new mandate for the first time in close to 3 years. So Wingtai bought back a little over 1 million shares at an average price of $1.77, which over the two sessions it bought them, it represents around 0.15% of all its outstanding shares. And back in its previous buyback mandates, which ended in July 2018, the Wingtai Holdings had bought back 1% of its shares, and that was similar to a preceding buyback mandate back in, I think, ended in March 2016, where it bought back 1.2% of its shares. So Wingtai, it's moved from outside the top 150 stocks by turnover this year through to mid-May to just outside Singapore's top 100 stocks by turnover so far today for the year. And the week's gains of 6% has basically paired its price decline to, 6% in the year to date, a decline of 6% in the year to date. And then we also have had Hong Leong Asia, also among the stronger performers of that broader FTSE STI share index. I think that's rallied close to 5% at $1.01 now, and DBS did initiate coverage on the company, I think on Monday it was. And that average daily turnover of that stock, which is in effect the industrial arm of Hong Leong Group, has actually grown fivefold in the year to date from last year. And it's placed the stock among the top 100 stocks by turnover, up from the top 200 stocks by turnover last year. So I think it ended last year at 76.5 cents per share. And it's since rallied, as we said, to $1.01. And it's, of course, it has this big subsidiary, China Yuchai International, which has a controlling interest in this Guangxi Yuchai Machinery Company, which is one of the largest engine manufacturers for commercial vehicles in China. Top Glove, it did report this week its third quarter numbers ending the 31st of May. It reported a year-on-year increase, I think, close to 150% for its sales revenue, and I think its profit after tax was considerably higher, up 490% year-on-year, but expected. And the stock basically, I think it reported during the lunchtime on Wednesday, so it closed before lunch at $1.57, had a little bit of a snap move to $1.62, but has since come back to $1.57. So as we said, on the economic front, on the earnings front, very much a lot has come in as expected, and that has accounted for the overall, I guess, tame look of the market. But nonetheless, when you look beyond the benchmark per se, there has been some recent moves and repositioning, if you will, on this potential for returning back to this new multilateral norm. And I guess nothing out of the G7 meetings came out to detract from that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to actually address that the point about the move from phase 2 heightened alert to phase 3 heightened alert also. And yes, markets probably did not react too much to that. But you can look at it in many ways, right? On one hand, restrictions have been lifted or eased, at least for regards to people who can visit your household. But keep in mind that dining in actually services, which will hit food and beverage and possibly retail, will not actually be entertained to resume, at least, until at least, the 21st of June. So that's another week, at least, of waiting, another week of lack of activity. But it has been pointed out that on one hand, OCBC actually recently pointed out that F&B activity, and I don't want to dismiss how important they are to the Singaporean economy, but that's only about 2.5% apparently of GDP. So the impact, at least, of the economy of this might not actually be as drastic as some people hope for. On the other hand, also the fact that there has been a clear marker set June 21st. If we keep the cases down, you will see the return of some of this activity actually, and the easing, a significant easing of social restrictions. We have talked about markets really wanting to remove uncertainty. Whether it's good news or bad news, you just want certainty so you can plan ahead. Now you're seeing a lot of F&B folks now starting to plan for dining in measures and perhaps entertaining reservations for the 21st of June. But that allows you to prepare your business in a more predictable manner. So the removal, at least, of that uncertainty actually might be something that's keeping markets and some of these REITs actually performing in a better fashion than we actually thought. Yes, the REITs look fairly mixed in today's session, but take a look, for instance, at Capitaland Integrated Commercial Trust, arguably one of the biggest retail commercial REITs, actually the biggest one here in Singapore. They're trading flat at $2.16 per unit. But keep in mind that for most of this week, and Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these retail and commercial-facing REITs have actually done pretty well leading up to things. So perhaps a lot of the negativity has been priced in already. And it's also just highlighting that, that maybe markets aren't really that there's not a lot of room actually to be negative, despite the what some might say is the slight extension of some of these of the restriction measures.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think the government support and the highly effective fiscal targeting to these industries has been quite effective, as we saw last year, and that continued obviously with the $800 million dollars of further support that was granted. So that can help obviously cushion the impact, JP, with a lot of those shop fronts and the F&B businesses and so forth. But yeah, I mean, nonetheless, one stock that's been interesting, I guess, through this, when you look at the impacts on the other side of it, Sheng Siong Group, which is back trading, I think, at $1.56 today. And back on the 14th of May, remember, that had a very quick snap rally. It rallied something like 16 cents up to $1.66. But as we see, it has since retraced those gains as well to $1.56, suggesting, you know, that a little bit of a bellwether or reverse bellwether, if you will, for it as well. But interesting too that the developments are still providing trading opportunities for investors as well. I should mention that RHB Research, I think it upgraded its target price on the stock back on the 17th of May, and then we saw retail investors actually turn net sellers of the stock in May with net retail outflows of close to $3 million. And that followed net retail inflows of close to $14 million in the month before in April. And nonetheless, we saw during the month of May, the Sheng Siong stock was trading around $1.60 a share for its VWAP, volume-weighted average price, versus $1.55 in April. So the stock that trades just outside the top 40 stocks by turnover here, it was trading at a higher price in the month of May when retail investors were net sellers than in April when it was trading at a lower price when the retail investors were net buyers of the stock.
All right, gentlemen, before we run out of time, what are we looking forward to next week? Or at least, what are you looking forward to next week, JP? Because I'm on leave.
Absolutely. Let me just start things off. Okay, on one hand, I think the two things to really watch out for is the FOMC's decision. The Federal Reserve, after all of that inflationary data has been released in the last couple of weeks, they make their next policy decision. People will be watching out for whether or not the Fed officials, who have often said that they will maintain monetary support regardless of the recent inflationary spikes, these transitory spikes, whether they might start talking about tapering some of those bond purchases. We mentioned that at the top of the program also, that this is something that we're going to watch out for. That's on Thursday morning. And we were also talking about that strong exports data from South Korea for the first 10 days of the month. Well, guess what? Next Thursday, guess who's releasing non-oil domestic exports? That's going to be Singapore as well. And we'll see if we can actually follow suit. That's going to be a key macro data. We've talked about how PMI and exports here in Singapore have been fairly resilient and robust despite some of these headaches and hiccups. We'll see if the trend can continue. And this will be remains a source of optimism, at least for Singapore's macro picture.
All right. And on that note, this has been Markets View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. He is finance presenter JP Ong. And we were joined on the phone by Jeff Howie, SGX Strategic Market Strategist.
There you go.
There I go. This is Money FM 89.3. Gentlemen, have a fantastic weekend.
Likewise.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.